It's called the dark store approach to valuing property. This strategy is estimated to have let big box retailers cut their property taxes statewide by at least $100 million, all because of a ruling by the Michigan Tax Tribunal. This ruling lets the companies behind big box stores base their property taxes on stores that have closed, ones that are sitting empty, hence the name dark stores. And as the big retailers successfully argue across the state that they're being overcharged, it's towns and cities, counties and schools having to find the money to pay the retailers back. Here's one of many examples. In Marquette Township, an appeal involving a Lowe's store gave the company a $755,000 refund in overcharged property taxes. That forced the township to cut services such as public library hours. Experienced real estate appraiser and Republican Representative David Maturin has introduced a bipartisan bill, HB 5578, hoping to close the dark store loophole. Representative Maturin, welcome.
Hello.
Was this dark store strategy always in place?
No, I don't quite know how far back the new approach or track that the Michigan Tax Tribunal has taken has been around, but probably within the last 7 or 8 years or so, they've just taken a different approach that they hadn't taken in the past and that virtually no other state takes. And my legislation is attempting to bring them back to what I consider good, sound appraisal principles.
If I'm understanding this, the tax tribunal agrees with retailers that their fully operational stores should be taxed as if that store was sitting there dark and empty.
Right, and it's valued using comparables, and those comparables are generally older stores that have been set vacant for a while, hence the word dark. But in many, many cases, they also have deed restrictions on them that markedly impact the highest and best use of that comparable property.
So for communities, you've got the prospect then of a empty store, a dark store, with all these deed restrictions basically just sitting there, pretty well not able to be used, and then the newer store being valued at the same level as the dark store.
Right, that's currently what's happening. You've got a brand new big box retail store, newly built, and essentially using a sales comparison approach and comparing that property to other properties that I would not consider, from my professional appraiser standpoint, to be comparable properties that would have the same highest and best use. They don't have the same highest and best use as an unencumbered, relatively new big box retail store.
Representative, I started with the example of the Lowe's store in Marquette Township. What have you seen in your district?
We had a Costco store that was built on the western side of City Kalamazoo and Oshtemo Township, probably the hottest corner in southwest Michigan right now. It's at the corner of 131 and Stadium Drive, which is a major entry point into Kalamazoo, into Western Michigan University. It's no secret. I mean, it's been published. They paid $5.5 million for the land. They got a building permit for $12 million. That brings them up to $17.5 million for the new facility there. And the assessor put them on for a true cash value, not an assessed value, but a true cash value, which you could equate to fair market value, of $8.5 million. So already the assessor had a value on them about half of what they had into it. They didn't send her a dozen roses and say thank you. They sent her an assessment appeal. Mm. And they said the entire property, brand new, the day the doors opened, is worth $4 million. Now, keep in mind, I just said they paid $5.5 million for the land. They're saying land and building is worth $4 million, and they want an assessment of $2 million. I think it's just kind of the end game for this particular theory that's been adopted pretty much across the board by the tax tribunal for valuing essentially big box retail properties.
And I think it's worth taking a moment to just kind of refresh everyone's memory about the tax tribunal, because I think that's not top of mind for most citizens.
Well, it was started back in 1974 at the behest of then the state Senator Jack Wellborn, who saw the tax commission at that point in time, who was the adjudicating body for assessment appeals. He wanted to focus on a different group of folks, and essentially the first tax tribunal had an assessor, had a real estate appraiser, had a CPA, because they also handled some non-property tax issues, and two attorneys. I think now it's expanded to another two members, but essentially they still have the three valuation experts, two of whom should know something about real property value, being the assessor and the real estate appraiser. But they are a separate issue, a separate entity. They're not under Treasury Department. They're under Licensing and Regulatory Authority. And they sit as the body that someone takes the case to when they want to appeal their assessment.
And the governor appoints this panel.
governor appoints them. I believe they're 6-year appointments. There may be some folks that have been appointed by Jennifer Granholm and some folks by Rick Snyder on there. I'm not quite sure where the terms would fall. But yeah, they're gubernatorial appointments, and they sit as judges, call themselves tax tribunal judges. And the cases that we're talking about are when the entire tax tribunal meets, not the small claims division, which is a division where a homeowner would go to appeal his or her assessment.
Dig around a little bit and you find out that in Lowe's home state of North Carolina, Lowe's stores are valued at around $79 a square foot. In Michigan, it's $22.10. And Menards stores, they're valued about $61 per square foot. In Menards' home state of Wisconsin, here in Michigan, it's about $25 a square foot. So great for the companies, but not so great for our state.
And we had evidence that was introduced, I believe, back in December when we had two hearings in tax policy, and I'm vice chair of the House Tax Policy Committee. We had two hearings just on the general topic, and that was brought up about Michigan's market value, the basic appraised value for these properties, is about a third to 40% of what they are in other states, and especially even in the home states of these companies. So you wonder, are all these other states doing it wrong, or we're doing it right, or maybe we're not doing it right? And everybody else is on the right track.
Yeah, does this feel like an example of a policy that's just a little too business friendly at the expense of schools and libraries and municipal services?
Yeah, I've been trying to stay away from the tax issue and getting somebody laid off. My real focus is on valuation, being the only licensed appraiser in the state of Michigan, or at least in the House and the Senate. But yeah, I mean, if you just look at it and say, why is it so different here? I mean, could things cost a little bit differently to build in Alabama than it does in Michigan? And could the land value be a little bit different, but not two-thirds different? There's something else besides this, and again, it's the particular approach that they've adopted, and I'm just trying to bring the rulings in the tax tribunal back to what I perceive and what I've done for the past 40-some years of my life as a professional appraiser using good, sound appraisal principles. And when the rulings come out, make sure that they've looked at the three approaches to value. They looked at certain issues, and especially when it comes to looking at properties that are old and vacant, especially with deed restrictions, that they really analyzed those and made a true determination that the highest and best use is the same for the comparable properties as it is for the property that's being appealed.
Where do things stand for your bill, HB 5578?
Well, we just finished our second hearing on my bill. We had a hearing the week before that, had several folks come in and testify, and then Wednesday we had two folks testify in favor of the bill, an attorney and a real estate appraiser, and we had two entities testify against it, the manufacturers and the retailers. But I believe that's all of the testimony we're going to have. Again, we had 2 days back in December, listened to lots of folks, and 2 days in the last 2 weeks. And in the process now of trying to address some concerns that have been raised by various entities and trying to make sure they understand the bill, I think part of it is a little complicated, dealing with not only appraisal theory but assessment, General Property Tax Act, and the tax tribunal rules. It takes a fair amount of expertise to appreciate the nuances of those three issues. While trying to address those concerns from some of the folks that have raised them, and then hopefully we'll be voting it out of, or taking a vote anyway, in committee pretty soon.
In bottom line, you're hoping to level the playing field for the communities that need the property taxes and the businesses, the property owners who need to protect their bottom line. You think this bill will do it?
I think it does. It doesn't favor one group over another. Again, if we're using the same approaches to value and making the tribunal recognize the same approaches to value that both the petitioner or the property owner would use and the respondent or the unit of government would use, I think it's a level playing field. Nobody's being given an advantage over one or the other party. Again, all looking at it from professional appraisal standards that have been around for decades and decades and decades. Everybody has the same opportunity to present their evidence. We just want the tribunal in its independent determination, which they must make. They simply don't pick one side or the other and say, well, you made a better case, you win. They're supposed to make an independent determination with the data that's presented to them. And my bill actually allows them, if there is something else that they need, to enable them to make a good ruling, to reach back and request some information from the party saying, well, we'd like to take a look at this or that, or give me a brief on this. Especially given it under Proposal A, that once you get a fairly major reduction, you basically have got that for the life of the store. I think the ramifications are too important not to make sure that all the information available to the tax tribunal when they make their ruling is in their hands.
Republican Representative David Maturin is from the 63rd House District in West Michigan. Representative, thanks so much for speaking with us today on Stateside.
My pleasure.
And we always like hearing from you. Tell us, what stories are you focusing on or people you think we should profile here on Stateside? Let us know. You can find us on Facebook by searching for Stateside. We're also on Twitter at Stateside Radio and MichiganRadio.org. Just click the link that says Stateside.